This will be our second occasion, as you remember from Revelation chapter 4. Not going to get any further than verse 1 again this morning. But after this, it should go a little bit faster. But Revelation chapter 4 is such a glorious chapter. We want to be sure and comment on everything that is possible for us to comment on so that we can know our God better. But listen carefully now as we read once again Revelation 4. After these I looked, and lo, a door having been opened in the heaven, and the sound, the first that I heard is a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you what is necessary to take place after these. Immediately I did come in spirit, and lo, a throne set in the heaven, and upon the throne one sitting, and the one sitting like stone, jasper, and sardonyx in appearance, and a rainbow round about the throne like emerald in appearance. Round about the throne 24 thrones, and upon the thrones 24 elders, having been clothed in white garments, and upon their heads gold crowns. And from the throne coming forth lightnings and sounds and thunderings, and seven fiery lamps ablaze before the throne, that are the seven spirits of God, and before the throne as glassy sea like crystal, and in midst of the throne and round about the throne four creatures being entirely of eyes front and back, and the first creature like unto a lion, and the second creature like unto a calf, the third creature having the face as of man, and the fourth creature like unto a flying eagle, and the four creatures, one by one of them, having six wings each, being entirely of eyes round and within, and they have no pause, saying, holy, 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 Kurios, the God, the Almighty, the was, and the is, and the coming. And whenever the creatures will present glory and honor and thanksgiving to the one sitting on the throne, to the one living into the ages of the ages, the 24 elders will prostrate themselves before the one sitting on the throne, and they will adore the one living into the ages of the ages, and they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, the Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For you did create all, and by your will they are, and they were created. That ends the reading of God's word. Thank you. Please be seated. When we left off last Lord's Day, we had completed what we knew about the door having been opened in the heaven. Two previous prophets, you remember, had seen many things that were reflected in the ceremonial and sacrificial system that had been commanded by God. The Apostle John also sees all these things, but with one exception. He saw the Lamb slain. There is no more altar of burnt offering, which once took its place prominently at the door of the tabernacle. Now that door into the Holy of Holies is open, and all of those covered by the blood of the Lamb are priests. To all else, the door is closed, and no one can open it, but to those washed in His blood, it's open all the time, and nobody can close it. Now verse 1 continues, and the sound. The first that I heard is a trumpet speaking to me, saying. And it's the same sound that John had heard before, isn't it? It's recorded in chapter 1 and verse 10. That's what he means when he wrote, the first that I heard is a trumpet. Here's that portion of chapter 1. I, John, your brother and co-sharer in the affliction and kingdom and steadfastness in Jesus, came to be in the island called Patmos through the word of God and the witness of Jesus. I came to be in spirit in the Lord's day, and I heard a great voice, thlipsis mega voice, as a trumpet behind me, saying, write what you see in a scroll, send to the seven churches, unto Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and into Pergamum, and into Thyatira, and into Sardis, and into Philadelphia, and into Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice, the sound, that was speaking with me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in midst of the lampstands, like a son of man, having been clothed upon to the feet, having been wrapped at the chest with a golden girdle, his head and hair white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes as flaming fire, and his feet like burnished brass, as in having been fired in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters, and having seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth, and his face as the sun shines in its power. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living. And I became dead, and lo, I am living into the ages of the ages, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, listen carefully, write the things you saw and that are about to be with these. Here in our first verse of chapter 4, John writes that it is the same sound, the first sound or voice he heard as a trumpet. And he is now speaking to him again. And obviously it's the same person speaking to him as in chapter 1, where our God and Savior Jesus Christ is so gloriously described as the one speaking. The sound is as a trumpet. And the sound as a trumpet is proceeding out of the mouth of the one in the heaven. That's where the sound originates, you see. And apparently it is in forte, in great volume and great intensity, penetrating, majestic, piercing, insistent, making everything else imperceptible. And the sound as a trumpet originates in the heaven from the Lord of hosts. He's the one who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. And he called all of it into being by his word, the trumpet voice and sound. He is the one who gathered the nation of Israel together. He's the one who rescued them. He's the one who covenanted with them. And he's the one who commanded a man-made replica of his throne room judgment seat to be built right in the midst of them, one which was patterned after the heaven and one which corresponds to it. And everything about what he's made and that tabernacle and the nation gathered around it corresponds in some way to that which is in the heaven and which John now proceeds to describe in great detail. Since our God has made all things in some form or likeness to that which is in the heaven, then we can be delighted, hopefully, to go to the scripture and find the trumpeting sound of Almighty God as his likeness is found in what he has made. What I'm going to do now is give you a progression of passages having to do with or corresponding to the trumpeting sound of God in his sanctuary. And then we'll see how God commanded that sound, that voice, to be replicated in his ceremonial and sacrificial system, and also in the very life and the existence of the nation which is gathered around his tabernacle. I urge you to listen carefully to these. Remember them, because the trumpeting voice of Almighty God occurs seven more times in the Revelation in chapters 8 through 11. First one we're going to look at is in the garden, when post-Adamic rebellion, God's fearsome trumpeting sound blasts into the ears of the hiding and terrified Adam. And that's the way it ought to read. The Hebrew text is incorrectly translated there in Genesis chapter 3 in the common English translations. In Exodus chapter 19, we see the trumpeting voice of Almighty God as he comes in the heaven with the great cloud of creatures to Sinai. I want you to listen to this. The Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. You shall set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. And then Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, Be ready against the third day. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether in a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. The Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Very same sound that the apostle heard when the Lord Jesus appears to him in chapter 1. It's exactly the same sound here in our text in chapter 4. It's the sound of God in the heaven. And it is, as I said before, the original sound. We're going to see next the like sounds that are commanded of Israel. I say like sounds. There are indeed like the trumpet sound of God in the heaven, but they're more. They are commanded of God, and they are in actuality his voice. not only are we to see the very throne of God in all of his created surroundings in the heaven in the gathering of Israel around the tabernacle, but we're to hear it as well. For the sights and the sounds in the heaven are created in and around the tabernacle and in the gathering of the nation. There are like sounds in the cosmos as well. Listen to the instructions to Moses regarding the trumpeting of Israel as it replicates the very voice of the Lord of hosts. Numbers chapter 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make two trumpets of silver of a whole piece shall you make them, that you may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to you at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto you. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So, two trumpets, each of them fashioned from one quantity of silver. They were vital accompaniments, you see, to the congregating of the nation. Vital accompaniments to the movements of the nation, to the defense of the nation, also to the ceremonial and sacrificial system of the nation. The trumpets and the sounding of the trumpets were to be a memorial, God said to Moses. In other words, when the trumpets sounded, all Israel was to remember the very voice of Yahweh in the heavens. The trumpets being sounded was the likeness of Yahweh speaking, and indeed the sound was his speaking. In Leviticus chapter 23, we read this. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. What follows there in Leviticus chapter 23, much too long for us to read here today, what follows is the law of the feast days and Passover, the bringing of tithes and whole burnt offerings and peace offerings, the Day of Atonement, and the 8-day long Sabbath in which Israel lived in tabernacles, all commencing with the sounding of the trumpets for an entire day. All of it prophesying and foreshadowing what John sees And what John hears here in our text, the trumpet voice of God commanding John to come, and his sight of the Lamb slain. Now, in addition to two silver trumpets associated with the ceremonial and the sacrificial system of the tabernacle, I want you to listen to what God commands Joshua as Israel encounters the city of Jericho, the first city the nation of Israel engaged as it crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. Nobody went in. Nobody came out. The Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I've given you Jericho into your hand, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all of your men of war, and go round about the city once, and you shall do that 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark," that's the Ark of the Covenant, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. "The 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It'll come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpets, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." So this initial engagement of the nation of Israel in cleaning out the Canaanites from the Promised Land was the city of Jericho. The instrument used was the ram's horn trumpet, the very voice of the Lord of hosts in the heaven. It was the commanding word of God. Here's the last one I'll give you this morning. It's from the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. Listen. "Arise, the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He divided the 300 men into 3 companies, put a trumpet in each man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he," that's Gideon, "said unto them, 'Look to me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, you are to do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and everybody that's with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all of the camp and say," here's what they say, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands, and the 3 companies blew the trumpets and broke their pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Now, as you may remember about this biblical story, Yahweh had pared down the 12,000 or so troops of the nation down to 300 in order that Israel not think that it was their own strength that secured the victory that was about to come. And Gideon and his 300 troops were coming up against an entire nation, a host of troops with only 3 groups of 100. But the trumpeting voice of the Lord of hosts was sounded in 300 ram's horn trumpets. It was, in likeness, the same sound of God as it was at Sinai as he spoke from the heaven, sounding long and loud into the ears of the Canaanite army. And that nobody dealt that the blast of the 300 trumpets was the sword of the Lord. The very voice of Yahweh, also pictured to John as our God and Savior Jesus Christ stands before him with the sword. Chapter 1, the sword, the word protruding from his mouth. And of course, all of Israel could not but see that this was not their own strength. It was not their own metal that secured the victory, but it was the sound, the voice, the very sword of Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, that had commanded the rout of the Canaanite army, their mighty men of valor. And of course, they could not but hear the sound, the same sound that so terrified the nation of Israel at Sinai. As the door opens in the heaven, as John hears the trumpeting sound, he could not mistake the one speaking. It was the same one that appeared to him and spoke to him just shortly before Jesus gave him the seven messages for the churches, recorded in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd chapters. And it is the same one who spoke at Sinai. Same one who spoke at the tabernacle in the desert. It's the same one who spoke at Jericho. And it's the same one who spoke and commanded Canaanite armies to flee. It is the word of God. That word commands John, come up here. Please be aware that this aorist active indicative, I did come, is not a response to an invitation. John did not write, and I went. He didn't decide to go. The command was to come up here, and John said, I did come. The coming of John was from God's perspective, you see, in the heaven, and it was precipitated by the command, come up here. And immediately John did come. I will show you what is necessary to take place after these. Trumpeting voice of God explains the reason for the command. Come up here. Please remember the opening words of Revelation of Jesus Christ. It said, Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants that which is necessary to be done in quickness. Then the Lord gives specific messages to seven churches. Then Revelation chapter 4 begins, after these, after the message is to the seven churches, John is commanded to come up here in order to be shown what is necessary to take place after these. What comes next in Revelation is that which is necessary to be done in quickness. After these messages to the churches, John is commanded to come up here in order to be shown what is necessary to be done in quickness. And blessed the one reading and the ones hearing the words of the prophecy and keeping things having been written in it because the time is near. Chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to verse 1 of the text again. After these I looked, and lo, a door having been opened in the heaven, and the sound, the first that I heard as a trumpet, speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you what's necessary to take place after these. The prepositional phrase after these is plural in both cases, and in both cases refer to the messages to the seven churches from Jesus to John, and in continuation, with no break in the text or the activity, John sees a door having been opened in the heaven and the trumpeting sound that he had just already heard speaking to him in the heaven. Now, spending some time with this for you, because dispensationalism, a scheme devised by an English fortune teller in the early 19th century, then later superimposed upon the text of Revelation, would have our Lord's people believe that there is a break here at the end of chapter 3. Everything John sees and hears in the first three chapters only is to be written and sent to the churches for the entire church age. And then, sometime later, John has another revelation that begins at chapter 4. After these is rewritten by dispensationalists to be after this. After this. And after this is reinterpreted to mean sometime in the distant future. Now about 2,000 years in the distant future. So, revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John, which Jesus Christ himself said was to be done in quickness, and the time is near, in a text which is obviously continual with no break, has been altered to fit a man-made scheme which includes a rapture of the church before anything in chapters 4 through 22 takes place. Therefore, everything in the remainder of the letter, beginning with John's rapture here in the beginning of chapter 4, has yet to occur. This abhorrent scheme has become so prevalent among evangelicals that everything about this letter has to be reinterpreted. Everything about it has to be rewritten in order to make it fit the scheme. Give you just one example. We'll do a lot more of these, believe me, before it's over. Since the word ekklesia, the Greek word for church, doesn't appear in the text of Revelation 4 through 22, that's proof to dispensationalism that the church has been raptured before these 18 chapters, and is with Jesus during the time of the events prophesied in these chapters. Proof of the rapture. And it's proof that none of the events prophesied by our Lord to take place quickly have yet to occur here 2,000 years later. Makes one wonder how much proof to the dispensationalists there might be in the fact that the word rapture doesn't appear in the Revelation. Neither does it appear in the other 65 books. Also makes one wonder just how far in compromising the text of Scripture folks might go in forcing a man-made scheme on the revelation of God's Word. Seems that they'll go as far as they have to. But the entirety of this letter to be sent to the churches, not just the seven messages, the whole letter, is summed up in the introduction to the letter, the first three verses, isn't it? Here it is again. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants that which is necessary to be done in quickness, and he did make it known, having sent through his messenger to his servant John, who did bear witness the word of God and the witness of Jesus Christ all he saw. Blessed the one reading and the one hearing the words of the prophecy and keeping things having been written in it, for the time is near. Sums up the whole letter. Having appeared to John, Jesus says to him, verse 19 of chapter 1, "Therefore write the things you saw and that are about to be with these." Then comes our text, verse 1, "After these," same subject, "After these, I looked, lo, a door having been opened in the heaven, and the sound first that I heard is trumpet speaking to me, saying, 'Come up here. I'll show you what's necessary to take place after these.'" So, not only is the entire letter summed up in the first three verses, but the continuity and the verity of what John saw and heard is well established, and it is non-negotiable. It is the very word of God written, and as the Apostle Peter proclaimed, it is more sure than one's own experience, more sure than one's own perspective. So, please be sure and pray with me that God will give us knowledge of Him in everything that He sees fit to reveal in His holy word. Some of the greatest moments of my life have already been experienced in delving deeply into the scriptures and preaching those scriptures, especially here with the Revelation. I thank God for it. I thank God for you, the church, for the means and the time and the place to address all these wondrous things in some depth. So hear it with me and remember what our Lord said in chapter 1, "Blessed the one reading and the ones hearing the words of the prophecy and keeping things having been written in it." May God bless the reading and the preaching of His word. Amen.